We will talk with two guests during this hour, one a radio host in St. Louis, another a columnist for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who have both been following and covering the developments in Ferguson, Missouri, including the violent protests and the police response following the fatal shooting of an unarmed African-American man, 18-year-old Michael Brown, at the hands of a white police officer. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It is 8 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Tuesday, August 19th. There were more violent protests last night in Ferguson. Police fired tear gas and flash grenades and deployed noisemakers, used bullhorns to order protesters to disperse. Police say they came under heavy gunfire from some protesters and had Molotov cocktails thrown at them. We will welcome your thoughts and your questions about what is happening in Ferguson, Missouri. And you can call us at 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our first guest is Stacy Washington, a member of the National Advisory Council of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network, and who hosts a weekly talk radio show in St. Louis, Missouri. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you for joining us. Well, you are right there in St. Louis. What is the atmosphere like right now?
You know, it's funny because there are some moments during the day where I don't think about Ferguson, but for the most part, it's like a constant background noise for us, and mostly because I've never experienced in my own hometown. I grew up in Germany, so we would periodically have terrorist acts happen outside of the base, but I've never had anything like this rioting happen near to me, near enough that I would be concerned about the safety of my family or that it might spill over into my neighborhood. I live about 20 minutes from there, so it's not like I'm close enough for protesters to walk, but it has been a concern, and it's been sad to see the way people have been behaving in response to this event. Some of it has been detrimental to the cause of finding out what's happened.
Yeah. What are your thoughts on what we just heard in NPR News, that police believe, or authorities believe, that there are agitators or instigators of this violence that came to Ferguson from California and New York?
And Chicago. I think that's absolutely true. I've been talking about that for just about a week now, whenever I've gone on to talk and kind of cover Ferguson. One of the things that I've noticed is there is even a presence from Anonymous, the nationwide group, and some organizations out of Chicago that they have nothing to do with the death of Mike Brown. They don't even have that as a part of why they're here. They're here because it's an opportunity to confront governmental agencies and make trouble.
Yeah. But protesters do have a reason to be concerned, upset over what happened to Michael Brown?
Yes, absolutely. And that's what I want to make sure. If you're looking in from another area and you see this, I would love for people to understand that Ferguson, 69% black, $10,000 below the median in household income for Missourians, so it's not an affluent neighborhood. But they hadn't had a shooting there in over a year before Mike Brown was killed. So there is a reason for the people of Ferguson to be upset over the death of this young man, and there's a reason for us to anxiously await the results of the autopsy, the second autopsy, and the third autopsy, all of the toxicology reports, and all of the investigations that are being done by the FBI and the St. Louis County Police Department, so we can find out what happened and if this was justified or if wrongdoing was, we got to find out what happened.
Yeah. You were urging people to get the facts before jumping to any conclusion, and it has been a few days since you said that, and we have more and more details coming in. Has your position on the matter changed at all, given the autopsy report that came out yesterday?
Well, I am my father's in law enforcement, and I'm a military veteran, fourth generation, so I'm a law and order person. I believe that when a police officer gives you a direct order and it's lawful, that you should obey. But I don't have any justification for the number of shots that were fired. And this is important because they have rules of engagement, police officers do. And so they're supposed to be able to handle a situation using their training. And I'm not comfortable with the number of shots and the fact that the last shot was through the top of the head, indicating that he might have been already on the way down. So, you know, he would have been able to survive had that last shot not gone through.
Yeah. Well, Michael Brown's mother is saying that the police officer, Darren Wilson, who was involved, ought to be arrested right now. What do you think of that?
Well, okay, so now this is where I kind of differ with some of the people here in St. Louis who want to see justice done. I do, too. I want justice. So this isn't about me having already made a decision for Darren Wilson or against Mike Brown. Rather, I as a person would not want to be arrested and held before the completion of an investigation unless they think he's a flight risk. So at this point, he's in hiding because his life is in danger, so they know exactly where he is. Complete the investigation, which means there's just a few more reports that have to come out. Once those are out, then we'll have a clear picture, and if an arrest is warranted, so be it. I'm not against due process, but I don't think we should rush to judgment before we have all of the facts.
Well, the police were criticized certainly in the early stages of the protests for an extreme response, for being too militaristic, for perhaps inciting what might have been peaceful protests by their response. What do you think of the police response?
Well, okay, so we've been through some stages here. As you probably have seen on the news, we started off with the St. Louis County Police, and they brought out the MRAPs, and, you know, they had the heavy riot gear, and the picture was a bit disconcerting, comparing it to the number of people who were there. But please, please remember that, Joy, there have been shootings in Ferguson every night since Mike Brown was killed. Civilians have been carjacked. Some of them have ended up in the hospital with gunshot wounds, some of them critically injured. And the police have been fired on every single night that the protests have gone on. So I actually thought the St. Louis County Police were a little overboard with the MRAP, the big armored vehicle, but the other response, that having their officers protected in riot gear, that's just for their own safety. I think when we talk about the militarization of the police departments and local municipalities, we have to understand that that's coming from the Department of Homeland Security through regular gifting, and it's sponsored by the defense industry. They're giving $100,000 to every congressman who will vote for the continuation of this funding. And it's doing no small part to us drawing down and coming out of wars in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we no longer have a need for so much hardware. So they want to keep that funding source, so they're giving the hardware to local municipalities. And I don't think it's appropriate for them to have those armored vehicles in a town of 23,000. But I also think that if rioters throw Molotov cocktails and fire bullets at the police, they should expect an equal and decisive response.
We are talking with Stacy Washington. She hosts a weekly talk show in St. Louis, Missouri. She is a member of the National Advisory Council of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. And we are talking with her about the latest developments and the ongoing violence in Ferguson, Missouri. And we're welcoming your questions and your reactions. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. What do you think it's going to take to end the unrest in Ferguson? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the violence in Ferguson, Missouri, and welcoming your questions and your reactions to the ongoing violent protests, the police response, and what you think it might take to quell the violence, the unrest in Ferguson. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our first guest during this half hour is Stacy Washington, who is a member of the National Advisory Council of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. Coming up after 7:30, we will welcome in James Causey, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who has written quite a bit about the unrest in Ferguson. And we have Robin in Shorewood, who emails, "The news always reports on how few black people work for the police department in Ferguson. Do you have any idea how many black applicants there are?" I guess she's, you know, any comments you have on the racial makeup of the police department?
Well, okay, first of all, I think we should apply a little bit of logic here. If you have a community that doesn't trust the police, that is teaching their young students of, you know, the boys and girls, that you can't trust the police and the police are out to kill you, you're probably not going to have very many children grow up, graduate from high school, and want to train to become police officers. It's pretty simple. So I think when you look at the representation in Ferguson, it's 69% black, but they have less than 12% of the entire population turns out to vote, and their entire infrastructure is managed by white people, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's who they voted for. Then you kind of get a picture of the apathy that's going on in the community. So I have no problem with the way their government is set up, but I don't live in Ferguson. I happen to like to vote. I like to help campaigns that are, you know, run by people. This is a friend. This person's running. I feel like I have a connection. I want to contribute. I want to see people that feel accountable to me go into office so that when I reach out to them with a problem, they feel obligated to help me. This is a concept that's kind of eroded in Ferguson, and people are talking about it on the ground. I just spoke to someone who has a lot of clients in Ferguson, and she said as she's been speaking with them, they've been saying they're going to become active. They want to become active in their government so that they can have a say in what's going on in their community. That's what needs to happen. I'm not saying that I disagree with the current management there or even the structure of the police force, because it is exactly the way it is because of the situation on the ground there.
Do you have any thoughts as to what needs to happen to try to restore peace on the streets?
Well, last night, I think 35 people were arrested for, you know, rioting and illegal behavior. And this was by, of course, the National Guard, because they've taken over the management of the protests and everything in Ferguson. And I think that's exactly what needs to happen. You know, Joy, when you're talking about tear gas being deployed every night in a residential community, that means children can smell tear gas inside their homes, because it's residential and business commercial mixed together, very mixed use. So we need to bring this situation under control so the Ferguson School District can open school for kids to go to school every day, and so that there can be a return to normalcy. I understand people want to exercise their right to protest, and they have a constitutional right to do so, but there's also common sense, and there's also respect for our neighbors. We're Americans, and we're supposed to understand that our neighbors have needs, too, a need to go to sleep so they can get rest, to go to work in the morning, and so that their children can, you know, remain calm and safe and healthy. So the first thing that needs to happen is the rioting and looting need to be brought down to zero. That needs to be eliminated. Then parameters for the protesting that don't involve harm or any protesters putting themselves in danger need to be laid out, and people who are in Ferguson should adhere to those, not because they agree with their rights being infringed upon, but even rights have duties and consequences associated with them, and one of the things that we as Americans have always done is we've respected our neighbors, and so we need to have that, a return to that. And once we have that, I think we can see the results of Americans exercising their rights and an investigation going forward and hopefully coming out with information that will lead to a vindication or an arrest, because those are the options here.
Why are people looting in Ferguson?
You know, so the first round of arrests, it was like 38 people, I think, were arrested the first couple of nights. Turns out that those individuals were from other parts of the city and had already been in contact with the police by being arrested or being convicted of crimes before. So it was an opportunity. People saw an opportunity to go bust up stores and engage in lawlessness, and they took it. The problem is it wasn't put down quickly, and so it was allowed to fester and continue. The looters are not the people of Ferguson. The looters are criminal elements that exist in our society who took advantage of a raw situation.
Quincy in Melrose is with us now. Hello, Quincy.
Hello, Well, good morning. How are you? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, go ahead, Quincy. What are your thoughts?
Well, having grown up in the 60s and seeing a lot of the same behavior, first, I don't approve of any kind of lawlessness, but what's not happening is that there's this underculture where children, and even though he was an adult, are seen as less than human. And what ends up happening is that the first time we can see that there are shots fired for an unarmed person, there's this anger that builds up in the black community. And the big challenge is we don't have a release for it. So the first thing that happens, of course, you're going to see a lot of things where people are trying to vent and get the anger out because of recent history of all the things that happen about are we getting fair justice. And the first thing that would happen if we were saying, wow, we just took a life, well, the first thing would happen, we would be arrested. And when you see somebody that's on the point where, well, no, we don't have to, we're going to conduct the investigation. I remember the previous history, it took like 44 days for that to happen. Those are things that build that anger in our community. And that's what happens. And we want to have justice. We want to be peaceful. But when we start looking at it, our children, our young men, are being seen as criminals, and that's a lot of media, and a lot of the information that's put out there so people feel afraid. And if anybody has gone through this entire thing of how media impacts perception, we have to do a better job in educating people. And that's one of the best things about what we're able to do. We can either send a positive message or a negative message, and right now it's been negative, negative, negative regarding black males in the United States. And then we wonder why we have this happening.
Stacey, a reaction to that, Stacey?
Is it the messaging? Is the messaging the issue here, or is it that a disproportionate number of black students, and I say students meaning they're student age, they're 18 and below, a disproportionate number of them are engaging in criminal activity? I believe that if we're going to have change in the black community and if we're going to have a different perception of us in the media, we have to change our behavior. If we don't want police officers to automatically think that we're engaged in criminal activity, we have to lower the number of criminal activities that go on in our communities. Now, I know this is a complex issue. It has to do with socioeconomically deprived communities, joblessness, poverty, a lack of proper education resources being applied in these communities. But the number one problem we have is not that black people have misplaced anger that they don't know what to do with. It's that we engage in activities that are not appropriate when we're angry. The fact is we had a white kid 2 days ago was shot to death in North County in a black neighborhood. He was a pizza delivery guy. None of the white communities are rioting or protesting about that. They're waiting to see what the investigation is going to show. So when white communities have a young person that is treated improperly by the authorities or a death occurs, there's no rioting. There's no looting. The difference is in our reaction to how we're being treated. We have to have a different conversation surrounding who we are and what our community stands for and then start to show the real, true black experience, which is a family and community, that has to be put forward, and more of us have to accept that and start to behave as if that's our mode of being, and we don't have that right now. And so the perception is always rooted in some form of reality, some form of truth. There's always a nugget in a stereotype. It's based on some true activity that's occurred, and then it's magnified. It becomes a stereotype. It becomes a way a group of people views another group of people. It can become incorrect when you say an entire group is monolithic. Blacks are not monolithic. We have all of the diversity that other ethnic groups have. The problem is we have a disproportionate amount of us who are not engaging in the American experience in a lawful way, and we need to address that. We need to address the familial dysfunction and start to help ourselves.
Let's take a call from Mike in Bayview next. Hello, Mike.
We have a disproportionate amount of us who are not.
Oh, Mike, we need you to turn the radio off and tell us what you want to say. Well, I'm sorry. Mike apparently is listening to the radio. I think he was going to say essentially the same thing you said anyway, that at some point he was going to say as a black male, we have to take responsibility to change public perception. In our final minute, Stacey, What is your hope for everyone involved in this situation?
My hope for Ferguson, number one, is that the people who don't live there, who are rioting and looting, are arrested or they go home. And for people who don't even live in the state of Missouri who were agitators to leave or be arrested somehow to get out of Ferguson. The second hope that I have is already underway, which is that the people of Ferguson would become more engaged in their political processes. And I'm not talking about the racial makeup. I'm talking about voting and knowing who the people who represent them are and engaging them. And that the rest of us would learn from Ferguson and understand that rioting and looting and before an investigation is complete, it doesn't help us and it doesn't serve any purpose.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Stacy Washington, a member of the National Advisory Council of the Project 21 Black Leadership Network. She hosts a weekly talk radio show in St. Louis, Missouri. Coming up after we check news, we will talk with Milwaukee Journal Sentinel columnist James Causey to get his take, his thoughts on the ongoing unrest in Ferguson. And we'll welcome more of your questions and thoughts, too. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. We will get another take on what's happening in Ferguson, Missouri, the violence, the unrest that has been happening since an unarmed African-American 18-year-old Michael Brown was shot and killed by a white police officer on August 9th. There was more violence last night in Ferguson. Police deployed noisemakers, fired tear gas and flash grenades. Police say they came under heavy fire from some protesters and had Molotov cocktails thrown at them. We are going to talk about why there is so much outrage in Ferguson, Missouri, over this shooting. And we're going to talk about what might be done to bring peace to the streets. We had President Obama yesterday once again addressing the situation.
Let me call once again for us to seek some understanding rather than simply holler at each other. Let's seek to heal rather than to wound each other.
So how do we heal? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page or tweet us at Joy Cardine Show. Our next guest is James Causey, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who has written about the unrest in Ferguson. Good morning.
Good morning.
So, James, what's your reaction to this ongoing violence, maybe the most violent night last night?
Yeah, it doesn't seem like it's going to end anytime soon, and that's unfortunate. You know, I understand how people are upset, and I wrote a piece in today's paper explaining why I believe people are so upset. Mm-hmm. But one thing that bothers me is that, you know, and I mentioned this before, the looting and things of that nature, that absolutely has nothing to do with Michael Brown. It's just some opportunists use this as an opportunity to do bad things, and that's unfortunate because it takes the spotlight off of Michael Brown and off the situation and turns it into something completely negative.
Yeah, and we also heard that there were instigators, agitators coming in from California and New York and Chicago. What's the deal with that?
Yeah, well, you know, you're always going to get that kind of thing. I think it's important to allow people to protest. I think it's important to have people's voices heard. But at the same time, when you bring in people who are just bent on destruction and violence, it completely just takes the spotlight off of what's really going on. But people should understand why a lot of people are upset. Mm-hmm. They're upset because Michael Brown was shot and left in the middle of the street for hours. He was uncovered for a great deal of the time, and blood was coming from his body, and the public saw this. Neighbors saw this. People saw an 18-year-old boy laying in the middle of the street in a pile of blood with cops just walking around. And he just laid in the baking sun. I mean, I think You know, in some cases, we treat animals better than this when they're hit by cars. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are upset. And they're also upset because, I constantly get this from people writing me saying, you know, well, what about black-on-black crime? Well, there's white-on-white crime, too. Blacks kill blacks at, like, a 93% clip. But whites kill whites at, like, an 84% clip. People kill people who look like them. They kill people who they're surrounded by. We rob people who resemble us. So that's not the issue. And besides, when blacks kill blacks, guess what? The police do a really good job on catching the bad guys, locking them up, getting them prosecuted, and sending them away for long sentences. When police kill people, no matter what the color, it seems like police always get they walk away from this unscathed, you know, except with tarnished public image. And that's what's got to stop. It seems like every single time a cop kills someone, it's justifiable. And I just don't understand why we believe, you know, it's this belief out there that every single time something like this happens, you have to dig up a person's past. You know, I have people say, well, was Michael Brown a football star, or he's such a big guy? What did he do in high school? What was his high school record like? Was he ever suspended from school? What difference does that make when it comes to something like this? None of that stuff really matters, and those are those straw man theories that takes the focus off of what really just happened.
We have a comment from Matthew on Facebook who says, you don't know what the gentle giant Mr. Brown did, so don't assume the police did anything wrong. I guess maybe we do. We need to wait for all the facts to be in before condemning this police officer.
Well, I believe some of the facts are coming out. I mean, you know, an autopsy was done. You know, you have three witnesses who said that, you know, Michael Brown had his hands up and he was shot with his hands up when he was surrendering. So, I mean, what facts do they want to come out? I mean, we have a case here in Milwaukee where a man was killed in Red Arrow Park. He was shot by police 15 times. This happened like 3 months ago. So how long should the family wait until, they get a call saying that no charges are going to be filed against the police? I mean, you know, when you say you have to wait until all the facts are gathered, that could take years. So I think some of the facts are coming out, and I think people have a right to question what happened.
Mm-hmm. An autopsy, the first of three, came out, and it showed that Michael Brown was shot six times, but including one in the top of the head, indicating he might have been on his way down. But he was not shot in the back, like some eyewitnesses claimed. So if Michael Brown was in any way charging this police officer, doesn't that have to come out in an investigation?
I think some of that will come out in an investigation. But at the same time, you have witnesses who said they saw what they saw. And honestly, I think when something like a shooting or anything happens so quickly, I think people honestly think they see what they saw. And it's going to take some time to make sure that everything is right. But in the meantime, you know, you have people who believe they legitimately saw this young man giving up and who was shot and killed by police. Now, I think that in itself is enough for people to be upset about, you know. And if this was like anybody else but a police officer, we would be behind bars right now. We would have, if that was you, Joy, who shot someone, and you had three people who said that you shot this person, you would not be, they would not give you time away from work with pay, saying, oh, we're just going to wait until all the facts come out. You would probably be behind bars right now. So it's a different set of standards for police officers, and that's what people have a hard time understanding.
We are talking with James Causey, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who has written about the unrest in Ferguson. His latest column, Why African Americans Are So Outraged Over the Shooting of Michael Brown. We welcome your questions. We welcome your reactions to what's happening. 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking with James Causey, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, about the ongoing unrest in Ferguson, Missouri. And we have a number of callers, so let's go to Bernie in Elkhorn first. Hello, Bernie.
Good morning. I agree with James completely. And unfortunately, this scenario plays itself out hundreds and thousands of times in this country. There's clearly no justice going on in this country, and unfortunately, there's a lot of very brutal sociopathic people that wear police uniforms. And if the other good police people don't come out against them, this will never change. I think the public is a mix of afraid of crime, so they tend to kind of like an instinct jerk reaction back the police no matter what. Plus, you've got a lot of white racism, and I'm a white guy in my 50s. There's a lot of white racism out there. That cop should be in jail for murder, and that, you know, hundreds or thousands of other cops guilty of the same offenses should be in jail for murder. I think the people are acting with restraint. There's one dead young black man. There are no dead cops.
So are the police racist, James Causey?
I don't know. You have to give every cop a psychological analysis for that. But I do think that cops are under a tremendous amount of stress. And the thing that people don't understand, or some people may understand, cops go from one stressful situation to another, to another, to another. They never get a break. So they're always on charge. And I think that's part of the problem. Cops, you know, I think cops need to be moved around. I think they need to be placed in neighborhoods where they get to participate in community service as well and get to understand what a neighborhood is all about instead of just going from a shooting to a stabbing to a fire to a shooting to a stabbing to a fire. Over time, that will wear anybody out and make you a little callous. So that's what I believe. But to say every cop is racist, that's I don't know about that. I wouldn't say that.
Well, let me have you react to what our guest from Project 21 had to say in our last half hour. Stacey Washington is a talk show radio host in St. Louis, and she mentioned that in a community very nearby to Ferguson, a white pizza delivery person was shot and killed in an all black or mostly black neighborhood. And she said, you know, you don't see white people out in the streets protesting violently over this crime, and that the African American community needed to do more to address the perception of I guess they are criminals or violent. What's your response to that?
Well, I think if a white delivery pizza driver was shot by cops for no reason, then if white people and other people didn't protest against that, then I don't understand why they did not protest. That would be my answer to that, because innocent people who are just delivering pizza, in my opinion, shouldn't be shot. But I don't know the rest of that story.
Right. It wasn't by a police officer, but just it was a black-on-white crime is what she was just using it as an example. There was no violent reaction from the white community is what she was saying.
Oh, well, I mean, you know, like I said, everybody reacts to things in a different way. I think that, again, you could look at cases throughout this country and nitpick and say, well, in this case, this didn't happen. In this case, this didn't happen. What we have here is a predominantly white police department policing a predominantly black neighborhood. And it appears that there were a lot of instances of racial profiling going on by this police department, according to reports. And so it was already tension there. And so when you have a white police officer shooting a black teen who witnesses are saying was giving up at the time, then of course you're going to have this type of reaction. Why would you think there would be people would be, oh, nothing to see here, people. He got what he deserved. I mean, why would people react that way when you have a department that has somewhat of a history of racial profiling against the community that it's supposed to serve?
Josh in Green Bay is with us now. Hello, Josh.
Hi, good morning. I just had a reaction to the thought that this cop is not in jail right now, and part of his duties is sometimes to have to shoot someone, that it doesn't make sense to compare a police officer to an average citizen who may have shot someone and not have him in jail. He's given the same due process in the police department as any shooting, some of which, possibly this one, are justified. And you can't, after any police shooting, put that police officer in jail pending an investigation. That was my comment.
James?
I agree with that. I agree that every person shouldn't be, every cop shouldn't be in jail following a shooting. However, I will say this, you mentioned a point that this is not a citizen shooting another citizen. This is a policeman shooting a citizen. We know that this young man, Michael Brown, was unarmed. And the only thing that I'm suggesting, I think what the community is suggesting, is that police officers have other means to subdue people. You know, why does it have to come to shooting a man six times, twice in the head? It seems like there could have been, you know, like the young lady said, that seemed like that was overkill. You know, he was unarmed. He was shot six times, twice in the head. I mean, was there another way that this case could have, this instance could have been settled? You know, should he have waited for backup? I don't know. I don't know all the circumstances behind it, but, you know, I think deadly force by a police officer, especially on anybody who's unarmed, should be the last means of resort. And was this the last means of resort? And that's what it's going to take for the court to decide.
Well, Gary on Facebook says, what disturbs me about the shooting is that a violent criminal who attacked a police officer with the intent to kill him was shot and has been portrayed as some kind of innocent victim by the media. This coverage is responsible for the protests in Missouri.
Okay. What bothers me is that he refers to this young man saying that he was attempting to kill a police officer. How does he know that? You know, I mean, that sounds ridiculous. You know, he doesn't know the circumstances, just like a lot of people don't know the circumstances. For him to suggest that this young man was attempting to kill the cops without knowing all the facts, then that's just like telling the people who are protesting to wait until all the facts are known.
Yeah. So what do you think, James Causey, is needed? I mean, last night the National Guard is there, and it's one of the most violent nights ever with, some of these protesters reportedly by police firing on police and, Molotov cocktails being thrown around and tear gas being thrown around. What is it going to take to restore peace in the streets?
Honestly, I think it would take a different approach. I don't think you could tell people when they can and cannot protest. You can only protest between these hours, and when it's daytime you could protest, but you can't protest at night. I think it's going to take a totally different approach, and something that this police department doesn't seem like it's used to doing. And that just means being transparent. I think the police department needs to come forward with the information that they have. They need to state that you don't sit on revealing who was involved in the shooting for 4 or 5 days. You come forward with the information when you have it. I think the people are just, they're seeking something. They're seeking information. And I don't think the information is coming out in a timely manner. I don't think it's coming out in a right manner. And because of that, people are upset. They want transparency right now. And until they get that, they're going to still be upset, because right now it looks like the police department and everybody else who's in charge is hiding things. And that's not good for anyone. And I think the public has a right to know what really happened. And the autopsy, the third autopsy that was done, it doesn't, I don't know how much light that actually sheds on things, but there's more to this story that needs to come out. And the sooner that it comes out, that's when healing can begin. I also think that, if you really want to do something grand and bold, this department has bungled this investigation from the very start. And I think people need to be demoted or fired. I mean, you could start with the top, with the police chief. The way he's handled the last two press conferences was just terrible. I mean, he needs to. Somebody needs to take a real hard look on how he, the people up under him, police Ferguson. And I think to say that the department needs to be investigated, it would be a start, because I don't think that. Mm-hmm. after this is all done that everybody's going to walk away from this happy. So maybe the department needs to, and the department needs to diversify too. When you have, when most of the department is white and it's policing a town where 83% of the residents are black, then I think some diversity is needed within the department. So those are just steps that I think they could take immediately.
A brief react to the call for transparency from the police department, but then the criticism the police department came under for releasing the videotape that purportedly shows Michael Brown robbing a convenience store just before he was shot.
Yeah, but and then they say that then the police chief said right after that that had nothing to do with the traffic stop.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It just seemed like one of those red herrings, if you ask me.
Yeah, Jane.
Don't get me wrong. It should have been released, but the way and the timing of it was just another way of bungling an investigation.
Jane in Appleton emails, more than a week after the shooting, what is being accomplished by these daily protests? We know what the complaints and grievances of the protesters are. The process is what the process is. It's not going to be sped up by being on the street. Why not get off the streets and get back to their daily lives and let this play out in the legal framework?
I think most of the people know how this is going to play out. And like it's been played out in police departments across the country, the police department will be found justifiable in the shooting, and the police officer will probably keep his job, and then they'll tell people it's nothing to see here. And I think that's the fear of most of the people in Ferguson, and they don't want that to happen.
Yeah. What is your hope for everyone involved in this situation?
My hope is that the family gets justice, and whatever that justice is, I think it'll play out over time. I also hope that the looting and the fighting and the Molotov cocktails and the tear gas and all of that stuff stops, because that doesn't do anything to fix this problem either. And thirdly, I would like the police department, to be more diverse and reflective of the community that it serves. And until that happens, I think you're going to keep having problems like this. And it's not just with the Ferguson Police Department. That should be the case with the police departments all across this country.
Yeah, and we do have less than a minute to go. Are you hopeful that police departments across the country will diversify?
Well, it would be a start. It would be a start. If that happens, I don't know, because, you know, they always say that they have a hard time attracting people to the department, and they're held back because of different reasons, you know, criminal past and other reasons like this. So we'll see. Time will tell.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks.
James Causey, a columnist with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, who has written about the unrest in Ferguson. Today's column is Why African Americans Are So Outraged Over the Shooting of Michael Brown. We also heard from Stacey Washington with Project 21 in our first half hour. Thanks to Bill Martins, to Justin Williams for producing and directing this program. Thank you for listening. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. This is the Ideas Network.